Tonight's shiur, Parshas Bechukosai, should be Lili Nishmas Avimori Ratzvi Rav Shlomo HaKohen Hareini Kaparas Mishkabo. Parshas Bechukosai begins, Im Bechukosai Telechu, and Rashi says, Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah. The Gemara says in Brachas Daf Chav Ches, that after a person learns, a person must give thanks for his chelek that he acquired while learning. And we say so in the completion, a siyum of a meseches, modei ani lefanecha Hashem Elokai, shesamtel chalki miyoshrei beis hamidrash. We thank Hashem that he put our chelek in those which sit in the beis midrash, velo samtel chalki miyoshrei b'krenos, and not to those that sit on the corners. Shani mashkim mehei mashkimim, because I get up early and they get up early. But the difference is, ani mashkim l'divrei Torah. I get up early for learning Torah. V'hei mashkimim l'divarim b'teilim, whereas they get up early for divarim b'teilim, for not. Ani amel v'hei amelim. I work hard and they work hard. Ani amel mekabel sachar. However, I work hard and I get rewarded. V'hei amelim v'einem mekabelim sachar. They work hard and they don't get rewarded. Chafetz Chaim asked, I can understand that which it says, I get up early for Torah and they get up early for nothing, for Dvarim B'Teilim, fine. But what does it mean that I work hard and get rewarded, I get paid, and they work hard and they don't get paid? Did you ever see a shoemaker, he said, it doesn't get paid for his work? So answered the Chafetz Chaim with a mashal that happened in his town, in Radin. He said there was a shoemaker who was very diligent in his work, and some people ordered new shoes from him, many brought in their old shoes for repair, and he worked very hard and did a very, very good job making and fixing shoes. However, as the years passed, the shoemaker came old. His movements slowed down a lot. And at the same time, came to Radin a nice, brand new, young shoemaker who opened up his shop at the other side of the city, side of the town. He was very strong and very diligent, and he worked very, very hard from the morning to the evening, and says, as long as the ner is dolek, efshar letaken. So he worked very hard, stitching and banging, and many people started going to him. So, of course, that meant that the old shoemaker was losing his business and very quickly. Chafetz Chaim had rachmanis on the poor old shoemaker, and he tried to convince people, you know, don't give up on him. It's you know, he's an old guy, he needs parnasa. You should still give in your shoes to the old shoemaker if you can. That even it might mean that you have to wait quite a while to get your shoes back. They said, give in their shoes, and it used to take a month or two to get them back. But he said, still, it's a chesed, help out the poor old shoemaker. So, what happened is work, not only did it take a long time to get the shoes back, but his work was not so wonderful. His stitches were not straight, the nails that he banged in were crooked, but the biggest pella of it all was that he charged double than the young shoemaker. His work wasn't as proficient, took a long time to get back, and yet he charged double the amount. The young shoemaker took 10 kopekos, and he took 20. So people said, what? It's bad enough that we're waiting so long for shoes which are not prepared for 100%, but to charge double? They couldn't understand. So they asked him face to face, said, how could you charge double for such work? We go to the young shoemaker, charges half the price. So he said, let me explain to you. He says, I'm an old man, my eyesight's going, my hands shake. He says, do you know how long it takes to repair a pair of shoes? It takes me the whole day to repair just one pair of shoes. So if I'm going to take just 10 kapekos, who can live on that? That's not enough to survive on. I can't live on just 10 kapekos a day. So they asked the Chafetz Chaim what to make of this. So the Chafetz Chaim said to give him work, okay, that's a chesed. He said, but to pay twice, you're not mechuyev. Want to do it staka, fine, but what do we see? He says, truth is, fine, it's true. The guy works very, very, very hard. But when it comes to shoes, we don't pay for the hard effort. We pay for the results. It might be hard, it might be easy to make the shoes. That makes no difference. We buy shoes, it doesn't matter how hard it is to make. That's not the case, though, with Talmud Torah, said the Chafetz Chaim. When it comes to Talmud Torah, the ikar payment is dafka for the hard effort. Lefum tsar agra, as we say in Pirkei Avot. According to the effort is the reward. V'tov lo adam davar achad betzar mi meya berevach, says Avos to Rabbi Nasan. That if a person puts in hard effort, he gets 100-fold in reward for something as opposed to something done easy. And therefore, yes, anu amilim mekabel sachar, because we get reward for the amal, says Chafetz Chaim. Behema amilim behema mekabel sachar, they work hard, but they don't get paid for how hard they work. Like the shoemaker, he worked very, very hard, but he doesn't deserve extra pay for that. When it comes to buying articles, then it doesn't matter how hard you work. The price is the price. Sabbe Mikelm Zatzal added that on each bit of tsar, as we said, it's 100 times, but each time a person puts even more tsar, it's even 100 times of that, on that, on top of that. In other words, person does something, there's a mitzvah, learns some Torah, and fine, he gets a tsar. If it's hard for him, he gets 100 times. But let's say he's tired and he continues learning even more. So what? Then he gets 100 times 100. He gets 10,000 times schar. And if he pushes himself a little bit more, because he's still tired, then he gets 100 times the 10,000. He gets a million times schar. And if a little bit more he's tired and he continues going, then he gets 100 million, and then 100 billion, and a trillion, and it keeps going. And that's how it goes when it comes to learning. Chafetz Chaim had to call El Kochim in Radin, because he wanted to make sure that people are proficient in the laws dealing with the Beis HaMikdash when it gets rebuilt soon in our days. So one of the people in the Kollel, he was not so fast to understand the material, and he became he was very upset. He gave up hope. He says, I can't learn, I can't keep up with my friends. He came to the Chafetz Chaim. He said, my friend's already holding on Daf Hey, and I'm still on Daf Beis. So the Chafetz Chaim said, oh, happy are you, Ashrecha, he said. That's wonderful. You're already in such a short time on Daf Kuf Beis. So at this point, the Chafetz Chaim hearing was not so great. So he said into the Chafetz Chaim's ear, no, not Kuf Beis, not Daf 102, Daf Beis, Daf Beis, Daf 2, not 102. So the Chafetz Chaim said, ah, your friend is on Daf Hey because he's very quick to chop. And it's hard for you? He said, yeah. He says, good, that's exactly what I said. Because we said before that Yafe Echad Betzar Mimea Shalom Betzar, it comes out that he's on Daf Hey, but you get 100 times more schar. So it's like you are on Daf, in fact, not Daf Beis, but Daf Kuf Beis, like I said. He teaches, that's perhaps the pshat in the Pasuk, Ulecha Hashem Achesed, Keta Tishalem Leish Kemaaseyu. Pasuk in Tehillim, it's a famous question, what does that mean? To Hashem is the Chesed. Hashem is a Baal Chesed. Why? Because he pays people according to their actions. It's not a chesed to get paid. A person earns something, so he gets paid. It's not a chesed to get paid. A person goes to work and gets his paycheck. It's not a chesed of the boss. He's paying him, and he deserved it. So why does it say Lecha Hashem a chesed? Because he pays people for their actions. So says Rav Galinsky, according to what we're saying, it's very nice that everything in the world has a price tag. Yeah, go to the store, buy a loaf of bread, it costs this, buy a chair, it costs that. And if you ask, the seller asks more than the price, the going price, it's ready to go, enters into the halachas of honah, of stealing, of cheating. But when it comes to the schar of mitzvahs, he says, we are koveya, how much the reward is, like we said, and what's the measurement? And that is kima'aseyu, right? If we put a lot of effort, then we get more reward. Less effort, less reward. And therefore, Hashem pays according to the effort, to the kima'aseyu. That's a tremendous chesed. He didn't just pay us for the price tag. Oh, this mitzvah, this amount. No. We can get more and more and more and more schar depending on our ma'asim and how much effort we put in. Therefore, that's a tremendous chesed. L'chashem ha-chesed. Yatat ha-shalem ish ke-ma'aseyu. Not according to the price tag, but rather according to a person's actions and the amount of amelus that he puts in. Pasuk says, "V'sig lachem daish es batzir ubatzir yasig et zara, v'achaltem lachmechem lasova v'ishavtem lebetzach v'artzachem, v'nasati shalom v'aretz." Writes Rashi, "Shema tamru hari makal hari mishte." You might say, "We have food, we have drink, but if there's no shalom, ain't klum. What is it all worth?" Tamru lamar acharkach. Says afterwards, "V'nasati shalom v'aretz." Hashem says, "Don't worry, I'm going to give you shalom in the land." Mikan shalom shakul keneged hakol. Says Rashi. Here we see that shalom is worth everything. V'cheinu omer osa shalom uvari es hakol. Rav Galinsky says there's a number of couples that they can really testify to the fact that imein shalom ain klum. That if there's no shalom bais, it's nothing. One has nothing. But, he says, they're forgetting one very important point that we see from this pasuk, and that is v'nasati shalom ba'aretz. That shalom is something which has to be given. It's not automatic. Osa shalom bimrumav. There's a siya over there. You have to work on it. You can't just expect for it to come by itself. He said, once Yaakov said he spoke at a chatuna, at a wedding, and he said to the people there, "Do you realize that I am greater than Hagon Adir of Chaim Kanievsky Shlita?" So everybody looked at him. "What? You're greater than Chaim Kanievsky?" So he says, "Yes, and I'll prove you. I'll prove it to you. I'll bring you a raya." So everybody was listening. He said, about a year and a quarter ago, Rav Chaim Kanievsky made a siyum on Shas Bavli and Yerushalmi, which he does yearly. So he gave out some wine. And we said, "L'chaim." So I said to Rav Chaim, "L'chaim, yizkeh l'siyum nosaf b'ot shana." So I said to him, "You should be zoich, you should merit to make another siyum like this next year." And he answered, "Amen v'chein lamar." And he answered, "Amen, you too." He reciprocated, "You should also be zoicha." So he said, "You see what happened? My bracha to him came true, and the next year he, in fact, made a siyum again. But his bracha to me, that I'm going to make a siyum, I should also make a siyum, didn't come true. So whose brachas are greater?" So he says, "You're laughing, but," he says, "what's the difference? He learned and I didn't." He said, "You don't learn, all the brachas in the world are not going to help." He said, "I'm going to tell you a secret. It's not only when it comes to learning. You know, people want, oh, give me a bracha. Goes to God, oh, give me a bracha. He wants a bracha for shalom bayis. And they'll get a bracha, very nice bracha. But if you don't do, what's the bracha worth?" He says, how much does a person give towards his shalom bayis? How much is he mevater? Does he give in to his spouse? And without this, there's no worth to the brachas. He says, I was once asked, he said, that we daven in Shemana Asrei for everything. For seichel, for briyud, for health, for parnasa, for tshuva, for torah, for gula. So somebody asked him, "Why is it that we don't have any bracha for shalom bayis?" So he said, I answered him, "Of course, you say it all the time. So he says, what do you mean? Where do I say it? He says, in Nishman Asrei, we say, V'nafshi kafar lakol tiyeh. May my soul be like dirt to everybody. You see, you understand? He says, people think that Shalom Bayis is something which is dependent upon two causes. First of all, the other side. And second of all, Hashem, that he should give it. They don't understand that first and foremost, it's talui in them, that they have to do something about it. If their nefesh will be like a kafar tiyef, they'll be very humble and overlooking, then they'll surely have Shalom Bayis. Reminds me of a cute maisa that once a fellow went to Rav Arnlev Steinman's Shlita, and he says, you know, I have big problems with my Shalom Bayis, etc. So Rav Arnlev said to him, Tzarich Levater. He says, you have to, you know, overlook things, you know, you can't stand on principle. Yeah, Tzarich Levater. So the man answered Rav Arnlev. He says, I know, Rebbe, I've been telling my wife that for 20 years. Is this not working? However, it's understood that besides the effort that we must put in here for Shalom, we do need the Hashem to come through as well. As the Pasuk says, V'nasati Shalom Bar, that I am going to give Shalom in the land. And also in Sim Shalom we say, we ask Hashem, please, Sim Shalom, V'tov Beinecha, should be good in your eyes, L'varchenu, Bishlomecha. We need Hashem as well, but it starts off with are putting in the effort. He concludes with a he'ara from a chazal that there is a little insect that has no bones and it doesn't live. Chazal tells that any insect that doesn't have any bones does not live for 12 months. And there's a type of fly that it bites like a wasp, and its name is a baka, and it only lives for one day. So Rav said, late baka bar yoma. Rav therefore said, you will not find a baka, therefore it is one that is one day old. It doesn't live more than a day. So Rav Papa though asked Abaye, but there's a saying that people say, and it goes like this: Sheva shani marda habakit al baala beomra raisa la adam shamein shala mina nahar matzasta damo below hodatali. That for 7 years there was a female baka, a bakit, that rebelled against her husband and separated from her husband, the baka, and she said, You saw this fat man come out of the river, and you went to suck his blood, and you didn't tell me about it. So you ate by yourself. You should live by yourself. Goodbye. And she separated him for 7 years. So Rav Papa says, so what are you saying that a baka doesn't live more than a day? Says over here, she separated from her husband 7 years. So the Gemara answers, Bashanim Shalahem. Talking about their years. In other words, 7 years to a baka is about an hour and a half or two. Fine. So what is the Gemara telling us over here? So it's teaching us a big thing. This female baka, what a silly insect she is. Her whole life, how long does she live after all? Not more than a day. And what is she wasting her short life on? A crazy argument with her husband. He ate by himself, or who cares if she ate by herself or not? She could eat, just not enough people that she can suck their blood from? What is she upset about? And that's what she wastes her valuable hours on? So that's this crazy baka. He says, but are people any different? They live more than a day, they live 70 years, but how much of this time is wasted on very silly arguments? At the end of the Tochacha, it says, Afani elech imam bekeri, I will go with them carry is by chance. Mevesi osam be'eretz oyveihem, I'll bring them to the land of the enemies. So az yikana levavam he'arel, va'az yirtzu es avonam. Writes Rabbeinu Bachye, Mikan darshu Chazal, from here Chazal learned, from this pasuk, Sha'yisurim mechaprim, k'shem she'hakorbanos mechaprim. That Yisurim act as a kapara, as an atonement, just like karbanos are a kapara as well. As it says here, Vehem yirtzu es avonam, their sin will be forgiven, and it says by the karbanot, vin yirtze lo lechaper alav. And not only that, elashar karbanot b'mamon v'yisurim beguf. Karbanos is mamon, you pay for a korban, you get your kapara. But yisurim, one suffers with his body. Says one thing is connected to the other. That if a person understands that his yisurim are mechaper like karbanos, so then he will makabel it meratzonu ba'ava. Says a story that he once heard from Rav Elia Lapian, Zatzal, who lived in the time in Kelm, and he was the Rosh Hashiva of the Shiva Ketana there. And he tells the following story. There was once in the village a mishpacha, and they had a couple that had no children. Many, many years. They davened, till finally they were answered. They were answered after 18 years. Finally they had a child. Son. How happy were they? They took care of him and they spoiled him. They didn't hold anything back from this child, as you can imagine. They protected him. Anyways, one day, the mother took her little boy for to go shopping in the market. In Kelm, they didn't have, like we have today, in the market, you know, stores. You go in, buy your fruits and vegetables, etc. But rather, the farmers used to bring their produce in baskets, and they would put it down there in the in the market there, and there were open baskets, and people would buy the various things. So what happened? This mother went to pick some vegetables. And she turned her back on her little son, who jumped into a basket of, nonetheless, eggs. He jumped into a basket of eggs, started jumping around, and having a good time, until he broke every single egg in the big basket. So the woman that was selling the eggs, she goes, "Oi!" Says, "Lady, look what your son did. Look how much damage he caused. Look how much loss. I mean, that's it. I can't sell the egg. He just broke all my eggs. What am I going to do? He broke all my eggs." So the mother answered, don't worry. Calm down. He says, she said to her, I'll pay you back everything. I'll pay you full value for every single egg that my son broke. And I'll pay you money for cleaning things up, and also for your suffering that you went through. I'll pay you for everything." Now, was this woman that was selling the eggs, was she upset or was she happy? Well, can you imagine? Let's just say the boy wouldn't have jumped in the eggs. Well, she would have to sell egg by egg, and argue with this one, argue with the price or whatever, and who knows, she might even not sell everything. She might have to go home carrying half a basket of eggs, which she couldn't sell. And here, in a split second, she got full price for all her eggs, with extra price for her discomfort and for cleaning things up. Now, would she like a child every day to jump in her basket of eggs and to bother to clean it up, etc.? Even though she gets paid for it, not so clear. But b'di'evid, she was happy. They got full price plus more. That's what yisurin are like. We say smechim yisurin. We don't, not a great thing to have. We don't love yisurin, but l'maisa, after the fact, it has a tremendous effect, a tremendous kapara for us, which we have to be happy with in retrospect. It's a very well-known story, which he brings here from the Note of Yehuda. the Rav of Prague. So there was a man who was suffering terribly, all types of yisurim, and he couldn't understand what does Hashem want from his life. So he decided he's going to go to the Rav and ask for some advice. So he went to the Noda Behuda. He was crying, and my yisurim, this and that, Rebbe, what can I do? What should I do? Why is this happening to me? So the Rav said, listen, stop crying, calm down. I can't discuss things, give you etzes when you're in this state. Just relax and sit down for a few minutes, and then once you calm down, we'll discuss things seriously. Okay. So the man listened, and he sat down in the chair, and he tried to calm down. The Rav went back to his learning, and slowly but surely, the man was calming down and listening to the Rav in a singing voice, learning. He nodded off. He fell asleep. He sleeps for a few minutes. All of a sudden, he jumps up and starts screaming. He says, "No, no, no!" He said, "A little bit more, a little bit more. Give me a little bit more." The Noda Behuda said, whoa, lifts up his head from his sefer and said, what's going on? What are you screaming about? So the man explained the following. He says, you know, when I dozed off, I had like a dream, and I saw in front of me the Beis Din Shalmala. There I was in front of the Beis Din Shalmala. Oh, tremendous pachad, what fear. And then I saw these nice white angels that were created from my mitzvahs, and they were counted 1, 2, 3, one at a time, and they were put on a scale on the right side of the scale. And I was very happy. The right side of the scale goes all the way down, and from all the mitzvahs I did. But then came these battalions upon battalions of these black angels that were created from my Averis, he said. And they went on the other side of the scale. More and more and more and more. I was like, oh, Yvay, what's going to be? So many Averis. How am I ever going to get out of Gehenna at this rate? So I thought that was the end of me. But then this trainload of Yisurim came. These the things that I suffered during my lifetime, and they were put on the right side of the scale with the mitzvahs. More schuyos amassed on the right side because of my sufferings. And I was I had new hope as I saw the right side then go lower and lower, and the left side with all the averus started lifting up. New hope. And I was watching more Yisurin going on the right side, and the right side was going lower and lower and lower and lower, and it was almost equal, but the left side was still a little bit lower. And then a voice came out, Zeo, no more Yisurim, nothing more to add. And I looked and I saw that the two sides of the scale was not yet equal. The left side was still lower. And I heard my din, Chayav, that's it. And these two Malachi Chabala came, terrifying looking angels, and they came, and then they grabbed my hands, this one on one side, this one on the other side, and they started taking me to Gehenna. So I screamed out, Ribono Shel Olam, Yisurin Korabim, you gave me so much Yisurin in my life. What, you could have given me a little bit more? Just a little bit more? Just a little more Yisurin than I woke up. So he said, you know, now I have no more tainas on the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm accepting the Yisurin that he gave me be'ahava. So the Noda Behuda said for him, that's your maskana, that's what you got out of this dream, that you accept Yisurin be'ahava? He says, yeah, well, what else? He says, your maskana should be that you should be marbe in mitzvahs and not to do so many averas, and you should do tshuva on the past, and this way you can save yourself from the yisurim. Along the same lines, Galinsky recalls that once when he was in the hospital, a doctor came to him, and he looked very bothered, very upset, and he wanted to take some advice from him. So he related that a few days ago, in the floor where he was, there was a man that was deathly ill. And he suffered terrible, terrible yisurim, bitter yisurim. His whole body was affected, and the machla was caused him terrible, terrible tzaras. He was constantly screaming, and there was no hope for this man. And his only hope was death. Death was the only thing that could redeem him from his terrible yisurim. However, the various machines that he was attached to kept him alive. So the chief, the top doctor of the over there on the floor, he came and he checked out this patient, and he felt it's no reason to keep him alive anymore. So this head doctor told this person, this other doctor that was relating this to Rav Galinsky, that he told me that I should pull out the plug. He instructed me to pull out the plug. So that's what I did. I listened to what he told me. He says, I pulled out the plug. He began to have convulsions or whatever, and after about 3 hours, that was the end of his suffering. He died. So the doctor related that last night, this man that I had pulled the plug on came to me in a dream. And he said, Ma, see something. He says, what did you do to me? So I answered him, what do you mean, what did I do to you? What are you complaining about? I redeemed you from your yisurin. I saved you from your suffering. He said, why? He said, don't you realize that my neshama went up into Shemaim, and they told me that it was set aside for me 4 days of Yisurim in this world in order to clean myself of all my leftover Averas. And if I would have finished those 4 days of Yisurim, I would have gone straight to Gan Eden, completely clean. But now that you took away my life before these 4 days, who knows how much suffering I'm going to have now in Gan Eden.
In
Gehenna. So he was very upset, the doctor, and he said, what can I do? What? So Rav Galinsky said, listen, I can only give you one piece of advice. Since you were the cause of that this person shouldn't have the proper amount of Yisurim that would allow him to go in Gan Eden, so it's up to you to try to have this man put into Gan Eden. She says, how am I supposed to do that? She says, by being chozer b'tshuva, and the mitzvahs that you do will go on to his chus. It's because of him that you're going to be chozer b'tshuva. If you do so, that'll go on to his credit, and that can push him into Gan Eden. And so it was, in fact, that this doctor was Shav B'tshuva Shlema. She all be zoiche to be Shav B'tshuva Shlema. Look forward to the coming of Bias Kol Tzedek, Bim Heirin, Bim Yameinu, Chazak, Chazak, Venis Chazek.